Good morning. This is Christian Gray with a Tribal Theocrat podcast. I've decided to bring back occasional podcasts dealing with topical or newsworthy issues. We also have a Kenism FAQ series that just started. Visit our audio archive to see that list and other audio podcasts, including our popular Tribal Theocrat live shows, which are available as free downloads. The next Kenism FAQ, by the way, will deal with the question, are Kenists racists? But today we discuss a major problem affecting our people, one which we've discussed adequately here on TribalTheocrat.com, but since the fire is getting hotter and hotter regarding this issue, and two, our leaders, including pastors, are all silent about it, we'll continue to address it. It's the problem of cop and soldier worship. I'll first review an important piece by William Grigg entitled Gun Violence, the National Conversation We Won't Have. Then I'll discuss the death of America's so-called best sniper, Chris Kyle. And I'll review a brief rhetorical piece by Lawrence Vance about military worship. And I'll wrap up with a monologue and a call to action regarding our approach to this growing police state. First, the Grigg piece. See the link below in the podcast post. He writes, this is William Grigg. And Gun Violence, the National Conversation We Won't Have, he writes, Gabrielle Giffords, the surprise witness at the January 30th Senate hearing on gun violence, was among 13 people attacked by a deranged gunman in the parking lot of a Safeway in Tucson 2 years ago. Vanessa Gorena, another Tucson resident whose husband was murdered in an act of gun-related criminal violence in their living room about 4 months later, was not given an opportunity to address the Senate panel. That's because her husband's killers, who remain at large, committed that crime under the color of state authority. Gorena, a former Marine and Iraq combat veteran, was gunned down by a Pima County SWAT team who committed an illegal home invasion on the basis of a spurious search warrant. I'll skip a few paragraphs here and get to the nitty-gritty, but please read the whole article. He continues, after being shaken awake by his terrified wife, Jose grabbed a legally acquired AR-15 and told his wife and their 4-year-old son, Jose Jr., to hide in a closet while he confronted the unidentified intruders. Notice they were unidentified. Within seconds of forcing their way into the home, the raiders, who were armed with high-capacity assault weapons of the kind that would be banned for civilian use if Obama, Biden, Feinstein, and their ilk prevail, had flung 71 rounds at Gorena. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing his name. G-U-E-R-E-N-A, Gorena. In keeping with established custom, Grigg continues, the uninformed murderers lied by claiming that their victim had fired the first shot after growling a cinematic imprecation at the SWAT team. It was later established that Jose didn't even disengage the safety on his rifle. He was hit with 22 rounds, 22 out of 71, a 29% hit rate. This is my commentary. But can you imagine that? These guys, how many tax dollars do they suck out of you to train how to kill you and invade you like this, and they can't even do it accurately? How many rounds were sprayed around the house? 22 of 71 hits on one target who didn't even have the safety off of his rifle. Pathetic. During the assault, Grigg says, Vanessa called 911. Paramedics arrived on the scene in minutes. The SWAT team turned them away. According to the coroner's report, the injuries Jose sustained were not fatal if he had received immediate medical attention, and there was at least one combat medic in the SWAT team that attacked the Gorena home. He was morally and legally required to provide aid. Doing so, however, might have posed an immeasurably small risk to that most precious of things, officer safety. So the team simply waited for Jose to die. This is outrageous. I'll skip some more paragraphs here, but do read the whole article. This is how cops work. They won't be held accountable. Very hard to get a cop fired. By the way, his son was asking, Mom, was my dad a bad guy? They killed my dad. Police killed my dad. What did my dad do? One of the last images he saw of his dad was very likely him lying on the floor, bloody. Greg says Vanessa should have been offered the opportunity to tell that story before the Senate panel and in front of the national audience commanded by the January 30th hearing. Jose Jr., who is now 6 years old, might have also been able to testify, but this wouldn't have been compatible with the purpose of the event, which was to advance a conversation intended to promote the disarmament of the public, with the ultimate objective of creating a government monopoly on the use of force. The disarmament program would be carried out by, among others, the state-licensed assassins who murdered Jose Guarena. Among those who were invited to testify before the Senate panel was Baltimore County Police Chief James Johnson, who insisted that we are long overdue in enacting federal measures intended to prevent citizens from owning what he described as firepower originally designed for combat. Quote, like assault weapons, high-capacity magazines are not used for hunting, and they do not belong in our homes, proclaimed Chief Johnson. He urged the Senate to, quote, stand with law enforcement on these common-sense public safety measures, end quote, by which he means not a ban on those weapons and high-capacity magazines, but rather policies that would deny the public legal parity of weaponry with state-licensed home invaders like those who murdered Jose Guarena. So no, we won't stand by you, Chief Johnson. We won't stand by any cops because we want parity of weaponry with you armed thugs. So read the rest of Greg's article. He mentions that in Johnson's biography, it says that he began his law enforcement career as a police cadet at the age of 18 and has been employed with the Baltimore County Police Department for more than 30 years. Talk about a tax parasite for life. Since 18, more than 30 years, living off the public? In addition to documenting that Johnson has never held an honest job in the productive sector, the bio implicates the chief in the January 2005 murder of 51-year-old Cheryl Lynn Noel. So you guys pursue that story on your own, but the guy who's talking about not wanting us to have weapons like his turns out to be a murderer himself. So the point here, before we move on to the next piece, is to stop the cop worship. Cops are not required to protect you. Do your research. Check out the news lately. This has been ruled by the Supreme Court. They're not legally required to protect you. They're only required to enforce law. You know, pulling you over on your way to church because you're going 7 miles an hour over the speed limit. Enforcing upon you a financial burden. They're revenue collectors, glorified meter maids. They're tax suckers. They don't treat you like a boss and a customer, like you are as a taxpayer, but they treat you like a slave. All the fancy gadgets and shiny cars and buzz cuts they wear, you funded that. They are supposed to be public servants, peace officers, but we serve them, and it's got to stop. And by the way, they don't trust armed civilians. Rarely, if ever, will they encourage open carry and conceal carry, because it would jeopardize their livelihoods. Crime is drastically reduced when you have a bunch of armed men walking around. And they aren't really heroes. Check out the latest statistics on the most dangerous jobs. Fishers and related fishing workers are 6.5 times more likely to die on the job than cops. They have a death rate of 121.2, according to these stats. So fishermen, logging workers, other extraction workers like rock splitters and quarry workers, aircraft pilots and flight engineers, refuse and recyclable material collectors, roofers, structural iron and steel workers, farmers, okay, ranchers, electrical power line installers and repairers, taxi drivers and chauffeurs are more likely at 19.7 to be killed on the job than cops at 18.6. But who are the heroes? The cops are the heroes. You don't ever hear about a fisherman dying, and you depend on him. You depend on the logger, the guy who works on the power lines. You depend on the roofer, the iron worker, the rancher. Those are the heroes. Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle was our so-called best sniper. He was gunned down a few days ago after he took a PTSD vet to the range. He and a buddy took him to the range to shoot to get his mind off things. As Ron Paul tweeted, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that's not the best place to take a PTSD vet. And the PTSD vet gunned down both of them. Kyle was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 5 Bronze Stars with Valor, and 2 Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medals for doing what? For killing people with a sniper gun. People that were attacking his soil and freedoms? No, people 7,000 miles away in Iraq and Afghanistan. He invaded their countries. By the way, I know there's a difference between the people who make their orders and people who follow them, but Chris Kyle, like all soldiers, they still signed up to be a part of that. The U.S. military has been doing this for years. It's no excuse to say there's a difference between the order giver and the order taker. You can't have that as an excuse. If you sign up for the mafia, and the mafia has a history of being the mafia, no excuse for you when you do mafia stuff. He says, I don't care about the medals, Kyle says. He told the Star-Telegram in 2012. I didn't do it for the money or the awards. I did it because I felt like it was something that needed to be done, and it was honorable. Well, I dare say it was not honorable to kill people. There's just killing, and there's murder. Kyle, the son of a deacon, wrote in his book, American Sniper, that he had zero remorse for his combat kills. He said that every person he shot was trying to harm Americans or Iraqis loyal to the new government. Wrote Kyle, quote, I can stand before God with a clear conscience about doing my job, end quote. Lawrence Vance writes, well, now is his chance. Galatians 6:7 says, don't be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reapeth. I dare say, as an unrepentant sinner, based on the authority of God's word, which declares that murderers do not inherit the kingdom of God, that Chris Kyle is not a hero whom we should celebrate, but is in hell right now, suffering the just wrath of God. Ron Paul tweeted, Chris Kyle's death seems to confirm that he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Treating PTSD at a firing range doesn't make sense. Of course, all the Republicans jumped on to Ron Paul, they're all over his case. Because Ron Paul is a true, if you want to say there's a true Republican, it's Ron Paul. He says what's true. We have no business over there. These people aren't attacking our freedoms and our soil. We have no business there. But we're over there killing people. And that's true. He who does live by the sword dies by the sword. And guess what? Ron Paul's son, Senator Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, has weighed in on the issue. Senator Rand Paul made a statement to Breitbart News that reads, quote, Chris Kyle was a hero like all Americans who donned the uniform to defend our country. Our prayers are with his family during this tragic time. You're not a hero because you wear a uniform that says USA on it. You're not a hero because you fight in the American military. You're a hero if you fight for our freedoms and our wives and our children and our property. That's not what the U.S. military has been doing since the so-called Civil War. And remember, in that war, there's a just party and an unjust party. Who invaded whom? The South was justified in fighting back, just like the Iraqis and all the so-called ragheads are justified in fighting back. Under biblical law, folks, Chris Kyle and other U.S. scumbag mercenaries should be taken as captives for life, if not killed. And if Iraqis kill, or whoever we're attacking now, if it's Libya or if it's Iran, I can't keep up with it. They have a right to kill the invader. We are not the just party. This is the hard truth, but it's God's truth. It's called just war, people. Read the scriptures. Just war is the difference between righteous killing and cold-blooded murder. We are not pacifists. We teach defensive wars when they're justified. If we were allowed to reckon deaths this way, under just war, how many serial killers like Chris Kyle are loose on our streets called U.S. vets? I want to read some things by Lawrence Vance. The link is posted below. He says, no, I have not been in the military. And he has several bullet points, and I'll read about 15 of them. I've never sung filthy cadences that glorify rape and killing. Never put my family through unnecessary hardship. I've never deprived my child of his father while I made multiple duty tours with increased deployment terms. Never helped to carry out an evil, reckless, and interventionist U.S. foreign policy. Never destroyed a country's industry and infrastructure that was no threat to the U.S. Never unleashed violence and civil unrest in another country. I've never killed someone that I didn't know who was no threat to me, my family, my city, my state, my country. I've never enforced a UN resolution. I've never been a part of an organization that was a global force for evil. I've never embraced the values that are all too prevalent in the military. Adultery, fornication, promiscuity, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, pornography, sodomy, divorce, sexual assault, sexual harassment, suicide. I've never been an accomplice to murder. I've never killed a civilian and called it collateral damage. I've never violated the Constitution I swore to uphold. I've never been all that I can be in an organization that was the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today. I've never fought an undeclared, unjust war of aggression or participated in state-sponsored terrorism. I've not tortured and humiliated prisoners. I've not been a part of the president's personal attack force. I've never agreed to kill people to get money for college. No, I've never been in the military. I've never died in vain for a lie. Read the rest of them. Sobering truths. But again, just war, just war, just war. The cause and intention of a war must be just. There must be a declaration of war by lawful authorities. Congress hasn't declared war since World War II. A just war is one that's entered into with a probability of success. Okay? We don't go for vain sacrifices. A just war is one where the cost to be incurred is not thought to be a greater evil than that which is to be remedied. The means of a just war must be both discriminative and proportional. So total war is unbiblical. In a just war, war is the last result. These are some principles of just war. I'll drop a link for you to read more about just war theory. Surprising, so many Christians don't have a clue what the Bible teaches about just war. They're just Republican cheerleaders and USA cheerleaders. If you fight in the Army or the Navy, the Marines, God bless you. I wear a yellow ribbon and I'm happy for you. You're doing God's work. I'm so sick and tired of this, people. Okay, here's my monologue on what's going on. We have the Department of Homeland Security. Thank you, George Bush. And it appears to be gearing up for a civil war. This isn't some crackpot theory. They're at least gearing up for city riots. We've seen those in I think it's Houston and Miami. Helicopters doing mock drills and firing rounds and scaring people unannounced. They've added another 200,000 rounds to their 2 billion round stockpile of 40 caliber, 5.56, 308 sniper, all this ammunition. And their latest purchase, by the way, was 7,000 personal defense weapons. You might recognize those as assault rifles if they're owned by civilians. Obama appears to only want military leaders who are willing to fire upon citizens. That's from a credible source who can't identify his source because he'll be outed. The DHS, I remind you, concerns itself not with the ragheads abroad, but with you and with me. So even if someone says, oh, these rounds are just for target practice, it should be scary enough that they have rounds because of their objective. They should be securing the border and fighting terrorists abroad, but they're not. They're just stockpiling ammo and harassing us at airports, fondling us and doing nudie pictures and building FEMA camps. It should worry you that they have any rounds. It's an unconstitutional department. George Bush created it based on his fear-mongering after 9/11, and now we have to live with it. And there are 2 billion rounds of ammo and 7,000 personal defense weapons. Mark Slavo points out, I'll read some other things of interest, that that link, by the way, is in our post. The U.S. military has been actively war gaming worst-case scenarios that include economic collapse and civil unrest, going so far as to simulate wide-scale food riots. This is documented. Do your Google. Just last month, the military deployed gunships over Miami and executed a training exercise with local police departments. I read that already. It's happening in Houston, too. And I believe in St. Louis, they have tanks. That's nice. Despite overwhelming opposition, there is an overt and focused movement to disarm Americans of their right to bear semi-automatic personal defense rifles and any other firearms deemed dangerous to the public. This is obvious. You'd be under a rock if you didn't know this since Sandy Hook. Heavily armored vehicles have been spotted all over the country, and many law enforcement agencies, local ones, have taken possession of these vehicles normally reserved for military engagements. And they've put them to use in neighborhoods and communities, which is, of course, where they belong, right? Tanks in neighborhoods, right there in the cul-de-sac. Looks good. Congress has authorized the deployment of some 30,000 surveillance drones in the skies of America to be available for use by intelligence agencies by 2015. The National Security Agency is building a massive spy center capable of recording, aggregating, and analyzing every digital interaction on the planet, phones, internet, purchasing patterns, travel, and even what we say in the privacy of our own homes. A 30-year veteran of the NSA says the data mining program is so vast it will create an Orwellian state. The U.S. government, in the aftermath of September 11, has created legislation that directly targets American citizens. We know this as the Patriot Act, so much for the fourth plank in the Bill of Rights. The National Defense Authorization Act, which Ron Paul spoke out against before Congress. I don't know of anyone else that did that, any senator or congressman. Takes the Patriot Act even further, allowing the government to detain anyone suspected of being a terrorist indefinitely and without trial. This includes American citizens living in the good old U.S. And as Joseph Farah points out, the president specifically claimed he would create a civilian national security police force as large as the U.S. military. That's the end of the Mark Slavo piece. And a few more of my own points. The military is openly hiring foreigners and criminals. They do this by relaxing the requirements to the military. And the point here is that criminals, and especially the first and second generation foreigners like Mexicans, they don't care about our culture, our history, customs, religion, even our primary language. So, of course, they, along with criminals, will have less qualms about firing upon the real people, the real Americans, you and me. This stuff isn't hard to verify. I'm so sick of the statists out there who will never admit that the glory boy cops and the soldiers are anything but honorable people who sit at home and study the Constitution. Is there anything more terrifying? I'm serious. You can talk about how crazy crackpot conspiracy theorists are, but is there anything more terrifying than blind patriots? We need thinking patriots. If we're wrong, then we're wrong. That's it. No shots are fired. No one dies. But if you're wrong, the statists, a lot of people die. I think Pascal's wager really applies here. Join those who question and challenge the government, and you'll, at worst, be a paranoid freedom lover. Join the state cheerleaders, and you'll be massively unprepared, if not dead. Here's a question. Can't manufacturers of ammo and firearms or retailers not sell to the DHS and other tyrants? Can they say, no, we're not going to fill your order? How about that? Of course, what about the scumbags who actually work for these agencies, who are willing to fire upon the innocents? I pray to God that something would happen in their hearts, that they would not take these orders. If it happens, I hope it doesn't happen. But history is replete with examples of people that do this, that fire upon their own people. What are some solutions? We'll wrap up here. I think that the number one solution is to get your kids out of state schools. Spend time with them, love them, and raise a happy, holy family. I'm so sick and tired of these don't tread on me flags. People are so worried about the establishment, and these same people aren't worried about their kids, their pliable children being affected by the same state they're afraid of. Don't tread on me, but tread on my kids. What's more important, your guns or your kids? Don't take my guns. Love my guns. Paid thousands of bucks for my guns, but you can have my kids. K-12. 7 hours a day, whatever. No problem. Don't tread on me. It's crazy. I think one of my guests on a previous show mentioned imprecatory prayers. Do that. That's biblical. Pray down God's wrath on these people. Don't be a hypocrite. Walk in righteousness, but pray imprecatory prayers daily. Do it with your family. And here's a big one. Get out of the city. Get out of the city. It's not... Cities aren't inherently wrong. There's probably some criticisms due to them because they are artificial. But I'm talking about the population density. That's a problem. Power goes out for 7 days. What's going to happen in an inner city? Mayhem, riots, anarchy. That's just a power failure. If it gets worse, well, it's going to get worse. Get out of the city. If you have folks who are in the city, try to do something about that. Be a real kinist. Love your family. This is practical blood love, family love. Be a kinist and get them out of the city. Do something. If you can't do that, arm them. Give your mom a pistol, your dad a shotgun. And what about your health and your conditioning? Lift weights. Run. Can you sprint 100 yards? 200 yards? Can you jog a mile if you have to? Can you bench press your weight? Get off the couch, put the remote control down, and get fit. And lastly, of course, buy guns. 10 million guns now are being sold a month. That's twice the highest rate ever. 10 million a month. That's good news. So buy them. Buy lots of them if you can find them. Ammo's hard to find. All the good stuff's gone. Just 6-shot revolvers in the cases. But do what you can. And, you know, I've been watching some YouTube channels on firearms, and we need some more media out there that's more family-centric and more that it incorporates a holistic worldview, not just these hardcore animalistic people who are ready to kill anything that moves. We need more hardcore civilian YouTube channels that don't worship the cops. None of this military and cop worship. I don't want to see your USA flags waving around. Don't tell me what branch you worked in. Just talk about firearms, how to use them, and why they're useful for your family. How you're going to protect your family with them. I'll mention a couple people here. I hate to pick on them, but someone needs to do it. Hickok 45, very popular. YouTube, Hickok 45. He has a responsible shooting channel. That's the first thing you see in the top right corner. Responsible shooting channel. You know, we're part of the responsible firearms community. I don't need to tell the authorities that I'm responsible. We shouldn't have to qualify ourselves as responsible. As, well, we're just good old responsible firearms guys just walking around. We're peacefully carrying our properly holstered firearms. That's not the attitude. I don't qualify myself to tyrants, to cops, to those who suck my wallet dry. I'm a man. I'm an armed man. That's all you need to know. I'm not part of the responsible firearms community. I'm just a guy with a gun. Of course I'm lawful. Of course I don't go to jail. I shouldn't have to tell you that. Am I also a responsible steak knife set owner? No, I have steak knives. Nothing fancy, also very popular. This channel is for military, law enforcement, and responsible civilians. Notice the order. The taxpayers, the producers of wealth, are at the very end. And plus, he qualifies them as responsible. The order should be, this channel is for civilians and maybe responsible military and cops. The difference is subtle, but it's important. He, by the way, pushed for Romney, who banned assault rifles in Massachusetts and gave his state universal health care. Mitt Romney was a messiah governor, and Nutjob Fancy wanted him as Fuhrer of the state. Another guy whose name I'm not going to mention because he was a jerk to me, and I don't want to give him any publicity on my show that has about 6 listeners. Big cop worshiper. He's here in my home state. He's got a half-naked girl wrapped up in an American flag as the background image of his YouTube channel. He's a married guy. What does your wife think about that? Are these the kind of moral profligates we have? Advocating gun rights? And is this the responsible firearms community? Perverts who like to lust after women and think it's a matter of public topic to display that kind of filth? We don't need you. This guy told me one time that I had my head up my you-know-what because I told him that I thought carry permits were unconstitutional. He's a big cop fan, like I said. And what is up? Here's another guy. I like him because he did some good work with open carry. He got harassed one time in Oregon for open carrying. But Haas USMC, what is up with the skull masks? You know, that's not the attitude we have to portray. If you are a responsible firearms guy, why are you walking around with a mask on your head that has a skull on it? It's the same culture that's obsessed with zombies. I'm not here to shoot zombies wearing a skull mask. I'm a human. I'm dignified. I'm here to protect my family. I'm not a single issue guy either. Guns, guns, guns. Here's skull mask and zombies. What's up with that? Anyhow, oh, one last thing. How about ditching the NRA? A lot of these people, if not all of them, are big NRA guys. The NRA was founded by the government. That should tell you all that you need to know, right? Founded by Civil War Union vets. They supported the 68 Gun Control Act. Of course, the NRA is now opposing the background check, which was their idea in the first place. Remember that? May 1999. They were under pressure following the Columbine High School massacre, and the NRA CEO Wayne Lapierre, whatever his name is, told Congress that his gun lobby supported instant background checks at gun shows. They also supported gun-free zones. He said, quote, "First, we believe in absolutely gun-free, zero-tolerance, totally safe schools. That means no guns in America's schools, period, with the rare exception of law enforcement officers or trained security personnel." That statement right there tells you everything I'm trying to communicate in this podcast. Everything that's wrong with America right now. If you're going to be anti-state, then be anti-state. Okay? None of this public school worship, cop worship, military worship. Forget the public schools. They are the tool of the enemy. You can have all your guns, but I'll take my kids. Of course, I want them both. But none of this cop worship. None of this military worship. They don't get exceptions. We are sovereign citizens. and thugs and killers by any other name, or thugs and killers. Thanks, and be sure to check out our upcoming live show with Robert Finkelfin, who will be on to discuss some of these issues. Bye-bye.